Okay? And it's going to be a Q&A type thing also. Okay? And we will share with you how God brought us together. Because these two ragamuffins, you know, how he brought us together, and he showed us that we did have a, you know, future and a purpose for him in his life, what he has for us. So in this first session, what I want to cover with you and want to share with you is about life's foundations. Has anybody here seen Lion King?
Yes.
Oh, come on now, right? Lion King?
Yeah.
Hakuna Matata, right? Hakuna Matata, right? No worries, right? Remember, you know, Lion King when he raised the little cub, you know? Okay. This is the circle of life. Okay. This is what I want to talk with you about here, because I'm going to share some things that you know. You've heard them. But I go back to there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. He says, though you know these things, I will not fail to remind you of these things. Why? Because, let me say this, sometimes, and I'm speaking to you from a former pastor and one who's been through school, but also, you know, I was saved in 1979. But sometimes we just kind of assume that people know certain things. And sometimes that assumption, then for us, that assume that, you know, we don't share the things, or we don't, you know, share it with them again, remind them of those things. And unfortunately, I wish somebody would have reminded me of many things in my life. And since the Lord has shared some different things and revelations, and I've come to know different things, then I want to pass that along, even though it might be something that, again, you might have heard or something like that, but it helps to kind of reiterate, because then it helps to solidify again and put us in remembrance of something that maybe we have forgotten and we've fallen away in a sense. So the first one in this circle of life, okay, see? And this is what this particular circle is here. Because first of all, I want to talk to you about this circle of life, okay? But this circle of life is about us. It's about everything with dealing with our relationship, our standpoint of view, our life itself. And then as this, it transfers over here into this pyramid area, which is ministry area, which is how God then begins to build and formulate, give you vision, and start to put a passion in your heart. Okay? So this is what these two actually symbolize here. This is us here in our part, but how it transfers into this part, which is our ministry area. And then how it starts back over here again, as I'll show you with regards to those that you're raising up and those that you're mentoring, those that you're discipling, those that you're equipping, those that are in your ministry, how your leadership, you know, you're starting to train your leadership for those of you who are going to be pastors and others that are going to be having maybe a group, you know, a staff or or a team, so to speak, in your ministry. Okay? So the first part here is when we start is understanding God's love for you. Understanding God's love for you. Remember, we're talking about us right now. And we know this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. We have to be rooted and grounded in his love, understanding how God loves us in an unconditional way. Ephesians 7, continuing on there, 3:18 and 19. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the depth, the length and height, and to know the love of Christ, which path is knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That we might be filled with his fullness. Because again, this is how God sees us. So, as Susan pointed out yesterday, and you know, we shared, we can't give what we don't have. And when we try to give it that we don't have it, guess what? People know that. See, my brother, yeah, I don't know, you know. It's like you're trying to tell me that you've been, where are you from, brother?
Ghana.
Okay. I say something about Ghana and stuff like that, and you can tell I read it out of, you know, maybe out of Google or something like that. I've never experienced it. Because what?
We have to know, have that experience, have to have that revelation from God. And then it flows freely through us, and those that receive it know it's coming from the Lord in that manner. Amen? Last one in this particular category is John 17, verse 23. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Do we ever read? I know when I personally read this, you know, I said, God, you just don't know. I was this ignorant. God, you just don't know what I've done. You know, this was ignorant me. You don't know what I've done. He created me. He knows me. He knows everything about me. He knows my beginning to the end. But sometimes we forget that that's how Papa God sees us. That with the same love, you know, that He loves His only begotten Son, He loves me. He loves you. That's that same love. And when you're facing, when you're talking to someone who is down and out, maybe a person from the street, okay? Maybe a prostitute, maybe, you know, whoever God brings across your path. And you look into their eyes and you tell them, you know, God loves you and He loves you unconditionally. And my brother, I love you. You're my brother in Christ. You're God's creation. Why? Because you haven't experienced some of that love in here, and it's flowing through to you, and it gets to their hearts, and it touches their hearts, and it helps to what? Bring freedom. Bring freedom to them. Susan and I, we teach a part there where Jesus, when we talk about that, we can what's that? That you forgive those who remit the sins?
Okay, yeah. John 20.
In John 20,
whoever sins you remit,
you are remitted. Whosoever sins you don't remit,
they're retained.
And you know, sometimes you read it like that, and he says, "Well, we can't forgive sins." No. Jesus Christ already forgot. He already paid that price. What we're doing is we're revealing to them that their sins have been forgiven. Their sins have been paid for. So you're that vessel that God is using to say, hello, hey, the world is telling you you're a sinner, you're this, you're that, you know, you won't amount to anything. But what God is saying to you is that those sins have been paid for. He loves you. You're His creation.
And they get it by your actions.
And they do. Because what? You're bringing them life. Okay? But it's something that we have to understand ourselves first. And we have to start walking in that. So that when the enemy comes against us and tells us, well, you're no good, you know, such and such. No, that was the old man. That was the old man. Okay, let's go to our next area. This is number two in this circle.
Uh-oh. I just pushed the down button. He said, all you have to do is just push this button the first time and this one every time. So I pushed it.
I think the cable has just come off
the table, yeah.
He says no signals. Is that the...
I think tech man is going to see something.
I'm glad we have a tech man.
Oh, yeah. This one?
Yeah.
Okay, the side one.
I'm trying to avoid hitting the cable.
Okay, there you go. All right, the second part here is that understanding that we are three-part. We're three-part-tie, okay? A three-part. We're spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are these three parts, okay? And sometimes, you know, these three parts, unbeknownst to me sometimes, we try to mix one with the other, not understanding, and we end up frustrated. But when we can clearly understand that our spirit has been made perfect one time forever, and it is perfect because it is the spirit of the living God that has come and dwelt in our spirit. Amen? In us, okay? Hebrews 10:14, He has made us perfect. the soulish man, the mind, will, and the emotions, that's being renewed. Romans 12:1-2. This is the area where God is now. It's like this hard drive that we have in this computer. Our lives are like that. My hard drive in me was 29 years old before I came to Christ. And then now it's being renewed. It's being transformed. It's being reprogrammed. Putting in the correct stuff about who I am in those areas. And this flesh is the third part. This flesh we have to crucify, as Paul said. Crucify daily. In other words, say, no, you're not going to eat that next piece of chocolate. No. Don't look. As Paul said, we do have to crucify it daily. We have to bring that spirit man in there, okay? To be guided by him, directed by him in those areas. And we have to remember that we have been dead to sin. Dead to sin. When you think about being dead to sin, think about going to one of your, I noticed we passed by some cemeteries and stuff like that. Thinking if this man, you could bring him up out of the coffin, and maybe this particular person was an alcoholic. If you put a bottle of whiskey there, and you tell him, drink, my brother, all you want. Can he drink? No, we can't. Why? Because he's dead. See, that was where I was before. Alcohol was very prevalent in my life before. But God instantly took it and delivered me from that. I tried, but I couldn't. But he did it with one word. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And that was sufficient. Quit drinking and quit smoking. Just like that. I spent a lot of money trying to do and quit those two things. But in an instant, he did it. So it's that flesh man that we have to crucify in those areas. Let's go on to the next one.
I did it.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Understanding how God sees us. Understanding how God sees us. Because, let me tell you, the world was painting and telling me how supposedly God saw me. They were telling me how they saw me as an old drunk, as this, that, that it never, amount to anything. But it wasn't how God saw me. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and lo, a voice came from heaven. This is saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When he said it to his heavenly Son, his begotten Son, his beloved Son, he said it to each and every one of us. We are his beloved sons and daughters in whom he is well pleased. We are one with him in Christ, and Christ is one with his Father. Is he not? That's how he sees us. But again, this is something that we have to understand to be able to walk in it. So that, again, when we start to minister to people, okay, we will have an understanding of that and know and let it flow from us. We don't have to get there and says, oh, okay, let me read it over here. I have to find it here and stuff. Many times you will use your Bible to let them read it for themselves so that they can read it and they can even start to believe it. Because sometimes when we say it out of our mouths, they look at you like, no, you don't know what I've done. And I tell them, I don't need to know. Papa God knows. And he still says this about you. Here, you read it. You read it for yourself. And let him tell you. I'm accepted. As children of God, we got three major categories. I'm accepted. I'm complete in him. I'm accepted by him. I'm adopted as his son. He's all these things to us. I'm accepted, John 1:12. I'm adopted as a son of God, Ephesians 1:5. He sees you complete in him, Colossians 2:10. And as we were singing this morning, we are a friend of God. I mean, that, as my sister was telling us this morning, can we meditate a little bit on that? That'll blow our minds, you know. When let's just take, you know, one we all know, Andrew. When Andrew comes up to you and says, "Hey, brother, come over here. Sit down over here with me. I want to talk to you." How does that make you feel? You know, it makes you feel good. You know, he's befriending you. Okay. Now, when Jesus comes, he says, "Hey, come here, my brother. Sit down here. I want to talk to you." Holy mackerel.
That mackerel must be
lovely. Yes. How does that make us feel? When he's telling us that he is our friend. He sees us as his friend. As I said, there's three major categories. We're, as children of God, we're accepted. We're secure in him, and we're also significant. He values us. He sees us in a totally different way than what the world has told us that we are. Again, understanding, excuse me, understanding how God sees us. Next. Next is growing in our identity in God. Growing in our identity in God. Excuse me. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says we're a temple of God. In Ephesians 2:10, it says we're God's workmanship. In John 15 and 5, 1 and 5, John chapter 1, chapter 15, verse 1 and 5, he says, we're the branch of the true vine. Again, these are areas in our life that God wants us to see him, see ourselves in him that way. One was the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Second is God's workmanship. Ephesians 2:10. And third is the branch of the true vine in John 15, verses 1 and 5. And in Christ, I'm accepted. In Christ, in him, I'm accepted. He's qualified us in every area. Let's go on to the next one. Number five. Growing and understanding the true nature of God. Now this one, my brothers and sisters, is one that we really need to understand. Because when somebody comes and tells you, let me put it this way, let's use Brother Andrew again. If I came and told you, you know, I saw Andrew and, you know, he was beating up on this old lady over here and he was trying to get her purse. You'd look at me like that, you know? Like, are you sure you saw Andrew? You know, Andrew Womack? Why? Exactly. See, you know his nature. And that's not him, right? Beating up on an old lady? You said maybe you ate too many fish and chips that weren't good fish and chips, you know? And this is cause a reaction in your eyes, and you can't see good, you know. So that's what we're talking about, is knowing and understanding the true nature of God. Who he is, his character, how he is. So when people come and tell you things about, well, you know, God put that sickness on that sister, what's her name back there, because he wanted to teach her a few things. You know, she wasn't just doing the right things. And I think that, you know, he wanted to teach her humility and stuff like that. Hello. You can say, you know, I'm sorry, but that's not the way God teaches us stuff. And let me tell you, that is, I'm just using that as an example. But when it gets around to those kind of things, when it gets around to the things about sickness and disease and stuff, you would be surprised. Really. You would be surprised how many of those things you will hear. And I'm not talking about non-church people. I'm talking about church people. I'm talking about even leaders. I'm talking about even sometimes pastors. Remember I told you the story with regards to sometimes a pastor tries to do the best to, you know, to console the families and stuff like that by telling them that God did this or God did that. Unfortunately, that's incorrect. Very incorrect. So do we want to continue to promote, you know, those kind of things where we put the blame on God, that He's not blamed, He's not the one to blame? Or do we want to give them truth and help them along? And as I told you before, in those kind of situations, people aren't looking for answers. They're looking for somebody who come and just console them, cry with them, sit with them, listen to them. We don't have to have the answers. They just want someone to care. And that's how we show them that we care. Because then, as time comes, the Holy Spirit starts to give you those words that will speak into their lives, that will help them to go through that time of sorrow, that time of tragedy. So we don't have to open our mouths except to speak words of life to them. God is our healer. He's our Jehovah Jireh. Exodus 15:26. God is our provider, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah a healer, Jehovah Rohi, Exodus 15:26. Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Philippians 4:19. God is our righteousness, Jehovah Sitkenu, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we may become the righteousness of God Almighty. And you know the other names of God. I'm just giving you a few. But that's His character. That's His nature. Describe who He is in every area. And He is love. He doesn't have love. God is love. And all these things that we're speaking about here, all these things have to do with that intimate relationship that we have with Him. That's how it's brought about. Knowing Him more and more. Let's go on. The last one here in our circle is growing in the understanding of the authority in Him. Our authority. Let me tell you one of the most common things, if you haven't probably, you're third year students, so maybe you've experienced this. In maybe your mission trip, or you know, sometimes when you've been asked by other people, or around other people, or ministering, or sharing with other people, could you come and pray for me? Could you come and pray for my sister over there and stuff like that? They need help about, you know, they have this or that. Sure, I can come, but let's go. I want you to pray, and I'm going to agree with you. Oh, why? I want you. You have the same authority as I do. You have the same authority as Jesus has. Mm-hmm. See, we start to forget, and we start to put people. You know, remember I said to you, the most important what we saw Jesus do is that He put them in contact with Papa God. He was not in between, the mediator. Okay, He put them in direct connection because He knew what was about to come after His resurrection. That veil was rent one time forever that kept anyone from entering into that holies of holies. And now we can come boldly before His throne to receive those things. So you want to encourage those that are around you. Yes, you want to go pray. Oh, we'll come pray, but I want you to pray. I'm going to agree with you and stuff. It's letting them know that you have that authority. You have that within you already. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, it said, then He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. He's given us all power and all authority to go and do likewise. That's what He declares in the Gospel of John. I've done these things. Now you go and do likewise. Because guess what? He's not telling us, okay, Mick, you're on your own, mate. See you later. No, He's with us. Because guess what? He's the one who does it. Amen. Amen? And if you're still needing some more encouragement in that, I encourage you to get Andrew's book, The Believer's Authority. It's an excellent book. It tells you, you know, more and more about those things about the authority that we have in every area of our lives. Every area. It doesn't matter what. So now, in this particular area, we've covered these areas here. Whereas we grow in these areas, grow in that circle of life for ourselves, okay? And grow as the Holy Spirit is revealing to us these things of each one of those facets, it becomes then that we go into the pyramid area. And in the pyramid area, first of all, let me just say that sometimes when we look at this, we look at ministry, we think that maybe we should start here at the top and work down. But what is ministry? Okay, serving. Ministry, all it starts here, our relationship with God. That's where ministry starts. If you want, if you're asking yourself, where do I go? What am I going to do, Lord? That's your very first start. And guess what? It's at the very bottom, because that, my brothers and sisters, is our foundation. From there is where everything grows from. From there is where everything God builds upon. And so our relationship with Him is the thing that we need to develop the greatest to be able to uphold everything that God builds upon our ministry and everything. And it's the thing about it is that our relationship with God is to God and with God that results in the overflow that God uses. And it's not about, as we have another series to talk about, as far as loving Him is understanding how much He loves us. See, that's where our lackness comes many times, is understanding that He loves us so much that He will do different things for us. And if we have that lack of understanding, then we're going to fall short of what He's already provided for us. It's almost like thinking, you know, and Susan uses this example, well, yeah, God's going to do it for you, but He won't do it for me, you know. And as far as, you know, praying for somebody, well, yeah, I'll pray for them. But when something's wrong with me, then, you know, it's another story. No, it's not another story. We're His children. We're His children in that, in every relationship. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, God is faithful by whom ye are called unto fellowship. Or another translation says, into relationship of His Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. See, we are one with Him. It's not what we're claiming, proclaiming, or saying. It's what God says who we are. Okay? So, let me ask you a question here. How many have healed? How many have resurrected? How many have liberated people from demons? You're right. See, we haven't personally done it, but the one who has done it is within us. And guess what? He wants to do it again through each and every one of us. If we will make ourselves available. If we will understand that He wants to do those things through us. Because we can't in and of ourselves do anything. Correct? But the one who has done it, and the one who will do it, and the one who does do it, He's the one who does it through us. So sometimes when you're asked, you know, I don't know if you ever got to, or Dave Dwell ever came here. Did he ever come here? Dave Dwell, he was from Colorado in Denver area, but he's a very powerful man of God. He's gone home to be with the Lord already. But he's very comical, you know. And he says when he first started in ministry and everything else, he was a farmer, cattle rancher. So you know how he started with regards to healings and stuff like that? His cows would get sick, and he'd pray for his cows, and his cows would get healed. And other farmers just said, "Well, Dave, what'd you do?" He said, "I prayed. Well, come and pray for my, put both hands on my cow." You know? And that's how he got started. And then he said, he went and had a meeting. And it was, I can't tell it the way he is because he's very jovial. He's very comical. And he says, and so he had a meeting and it was announced and everything else. And this great, you know, man of God is coming and with healing powers and everything else. And he was wondering who they were talking about. And so when he gets to the meeting, you know, they announce him and he gets up on the platform and it's a kind of a camp meeting. It's a, you know, outside meeting with a big tent and everything else. And so he's there and he says, "Oh Lord, you know, just headaches or, you know, backaches or something like that. Please, Lord." And here comes down the aisle, this in a wheelchair, this little lady that they bring to him. And he says, "Oh my gosh. how can I do this and stuff?" And so the little lady was down there, and he was thinking, what am I going to do? And so he gets down there, and if I remember correctly, he says, "Okay, God, you know, you're gonna." But all of a sudden, he said, "Okay, pray for her and pull her up out of the chair." So he's praying for her and he's praying long for her. He wants to make sure it works, you know. And he says, "Okay, pull her up." The Spirit of God said. So he grabbed her like that and pulled her up. He says, "Oh, God." And all of a sudden, the lady, you know, passed him by. But she landed on the other side, healed completely. See, it wasn't him. It was the Spirit of God within him that did the healing and everything else. And sometimes we fret and everything else because we're thinking that we have to do it. We have to do it. But if we let the Spirit of the Lord flow through us, it's a beautiful thing because He is able to accomplish those things in us. When we talk about in Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In what? In Him, in Jesus Christ. Okay, but let's go down to verse 10 of of Colossians chapter 2, and then verse 10. "And we are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." So sometimes when we think of ourselves again, that we are lacking, we're not. Because He is complete in God and He is in us. So He completes us completely. Amen? Let's go to our bottom row, first one. Go ahead.
What do you want me to do now?
Whatever you did before.
Just push this little button.
Oh.
That was the wine.
Hit it again. Hit it again. There you go.
Wow.
Our bottom line our bottom line there is our relationship with God. Remember, right now we're talking about the ministry area. And it's a relationship with God where this here begins to flow into this area here, and it begins to flow out of us into everything that He has for us. Because what? He's the one who creates our agenda. You know, we're thinking about, okay, where am I going to go, you know, to share? Where am I going to, you know, what am I going to do? Well, he's your travel agent. He's the one who opens doors. He's the one who does these things. But is as we are in Him and as we flow through Him. Amen? So that development of His love for us, His purpose, and guess what? His adventure that He has for each and every one of us. When God called us into ministry for Susan and I, He says, "I have called you, I'm equipping you, and I will provide for you. And I will open the doors that I need for you to go through." And the last thing He said to us, He says, "And I want you to have fun in what I have called you to do." See, I mean, if we want to put it this way, working for God is fun. You know, if we consider it work, But more, I consider it a lifestyle. He wants us to have fun at what we do. We go to places like this, and last night we went with Lucy to the bonfire and stuff like that. We look at each other, he says, did we ever imagine this? You know, being here in England, you know, partaking of this like this. Yeah. You know, he wants us to have fun at what we do in those areas. The relationship with God is not obtained by trying harder. It is obtained by enjoying Him and our relationship with Him. Sure, sometimes, you know, we have a lot of things that we end up doing, but it's not because we're obligated, we're not trying to get from Him. It's a byproduct. As we flow with Him, He provides everything for us. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up and straightway out of the water. Lo, heavens opened, and straightway descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice came, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Again, reminding us. Now, let me take that right there and let me just ask you a question. This is the situation. Remember, He was being baptized. God Almighty said that this is My beloved Son in whom He is well pleased. Let me ask the question. Had Jesus done any miracles? Had He saved anybody? Had He delivered anybody? Had He done any healings? So where did the part about "this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased" come from? That relationship, that intimacy of relationship. And for us, that's, as He is our example, that's what we have to receive also. That example, that relationship, that intimacy with Him is so very vitally important for us. And if you want to note this, in Psalm chapter 18 and verse 32, it talks about, "It is God that makes my way perfect." Not me. Not me. When we try to be our own coordinators and our own, you know, travel agents and whatever, and whatever, we mess it up. Let me tell you. But it's God who makes the way straight for us. Let's go to the second level. Because here in the second level is the developmental level for us. Go ahead. Taught of God about your passion. The second level is the developmental level, where He starts to develop in you the things that He wants you to do. Your ministry. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. It says it like this. "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth me morning by morning. He awakened my ear to hear as the learned." Now let me read it to you in the Amplified. It's a little bit different, and it gives a little bit more. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4 in the Amplified. "The servant of God says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple and of one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught." So here again, as Isaiah was saying of the Lord, as one who is taught. In other words, God is constantly teaching us, discipling us, helping us to grow more in Him. And when we find ourselves in this area here, this developmental area, and we find ourselves lacking wisdom, we can go to James, correct? Mm-hmm. James, when we lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering." Verse 7 is very key right there. "Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence and showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Note that in this level is where our discipline with God and our time with God reflects on how we are able to receive from God.
What is that scripture?
It was Romans chapter 12, verses 7 through 12. 6 through 12, I'm sorry. Romans 12, verses 6 through 12. But it's here, is in just in reading some of these different things right here. It brings out that the discipline that we start to establish with God, our time with God, giving Him time to share and disciple us and help us. Okay?
I just want to put you in remembrance that as this is going on in our lives, and this is being reflected over here. But notice how these arrows go back and forth, because what is happening is that as it is taking place here, it is reflecting back here. As it is flowing through you, it is flowing in you, and then is flowing out of you to those that are around you. Okay?
Because this is where what you have received from God now develops, he starts to develop a passion for the message that he gives you. For both of us, for Susan and I, it's the message of identity in Christ. It becomes like Jeremiah there in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. There's this fire within me, this fire in my bones. And that's what our passion is to share, you know, this that God has given unto us about identity in Christ, our position with Christ. So it's, you know, as we commonly say, you know, if you poke us, you know, that's what comes out, you know. And I can poke some of you and some other things will come out. Why? Because that's what God's put his passion into you about that particular thing. Mm-hmm. And you start to talk about it without you even, you know, it's automatic. You don't even have to think about it. Because what? It's not coming from here. It's coming from here. And that's where he just starts to develop in those things, our passion for things. That sometimes when you share something, a vision, something that's on your heart to do, you know, somebody else might hear it. And because it is not something that is of interest or not something that they might see it like, man, that is too hard. How are you going to do that, you know? But for you, it's not a task. Why? Because God has already put that passion, that desire, that zeal in you for this to do. And when he puts it in there, guess what? He's going to do whatever needs to be done to bring it to pass. So for you, it's just abiding in him, resting in him, because he's going to be the one who's taking you through that. The other person looks upon it like, man, that's a task, boy. You don't have to do this. Oh, man, I don't know if I'd ever, you know. Well, because it's not their passion. It's not what God has put upon their hearts to do. So it's common that, you know, you see it looking, seen in a different way. So let me ask you to ask yourselves that question. What is your passion? What is your passion? You know, just find a time that you get alone with God. Have a cup of tea with him. Whatever. And just, God, show me. What, you know, clarify in my heart. Not my mind, in my heart. What is the passion that you have put in my heart? Sometimes we need clarity in those areas. But Papa God is ready to give us that clarity and show us those things. Because as we go to the third level here, then the third level is where your vision comes. And our vision is constantly growing in you because it is our outpouring of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Your vision inspires faith. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Let me read it to you. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God. When we have that passion within us, he brings out and he starts to develop that vision. In John chapter 17, verses 2 through 4, as thou hast given me power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given. And this is eternal life, that ye may know the one only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou hast given me. See, we can receive inspiration from the vision that God has given us, seeing what Jesus did and what he has called us to do. What Paul reflected it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling unto Christ Jesus. So this scripture is something that we, Susan and I, have reminded ourselves by the Holy Ghost, helping us to look at our lives the way that God sees us, not the way that circumstances have dealt unto us in our, you know, before. Because those kind of things, tragedies and circumstances in life, are Satan, you know, means them for us to come to an end. When there is nothing else for us, at least that's the way that he wants us to perceive it. So that we just give up and end up saying, hey, you know, my life is over. That's not true. Your life has just begun. And God wants to use you powerfully for his honor and for his glory. So don't let that those things, you know, deter you in that manner. Let's go to the fourth level there. This is where growth as a leader comes in, because you are an example here. You're the example. You're what people see, you know, as they, when the apostles ask, you know, can you show us the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, without any pride in that area, but your normal walk, as your relationship grows, you're that example that you reflect Jesus to the people around you. You start reflecting that as your walk, as your relationship, as you start to mentor them, as you start to disciple them, as you start to share with them in your everyday life. So you continue on. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Philippians 4, 8, you know it well. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And verse 9 is where God liberated me, and the God of peace shall be with you. These things were both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So remember that this level is where you're growing as a leader, and you're following the example of Jesus, and those have followed his example, because you are then become an example to others. You're reflecting Jesus to others. Galatians, Paul put it this way, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I liveth by the faith of the Son of God. Notice it says, but not the faith in the Son of God, but the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Another reference is Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor servant above his Lord. So, everything is reflective upon what? What Jesus. And last of all, to close out in this time, the fifth one is results multiplication. More leaders in relationship with God. Because see, as you can take this, and let's say you're a pastor, okay? And you want to start a church. You can start in this whole process and start to train and start to help, start to disciple the people that God has selected for to come alongside of you and help you, assist you in your ministry. As you start to minister and disciple them in these areas, guess what? That's what you're reflecting upon them. That's what you're imparting to them. That's what you're discipling them with in other materials, other things that God will give to you to use. But then, as you're doing that, it becomes a natural byproduct that you're raising up those leaders and teaching them. And then, as you do that, then you take them personally to this area again, so that they can multiply and they can take others as they start to minister and they start to disciple. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. Arise, shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness arising. At this time, you lead them back in relationship with God, and the cycle starts all over again in that manner. Questions? Do we have time? I don't know what time we're over.
We've got over by 2 minutes.
Okay.
So maybe we can have questions when we come back in.
Sure. Yeah, we're good.
Thank you.